When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You straight up cuckooed that dude, bro. Oh my God.
You've got all your Charger gear on because
you're feeling fresh as hell.
Well, you guys better enjoy it.
The fans loved it.
You have to love what you're seeing on tape if you're a Chargers fan, especially for the future with Justin Herbert.
On the move and throws and touchdown.
Do this together.
Players, coaches, staff, fans, together, we can create something truly special.
Stay tuned for some good content.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Charger Chat.
Oh, God. Wow. Hello.
I'm your co-host, Roll Dog, sitting with my buddy, Kev Huggin Duggan.
Hi, guys.
And let's not forget Kyle the Coach Duggan.
Kevin, what are you, like Neo from The Matrix?
What's that? These are my sucka duckas. I'm ducking suckas all day and all night on Twitter.
I punched Kevin in the eye and he doesn't want you all to see it.
Yeah. He got really mad at me. Yeah. I punched myself in the face.
You fell
after
down some stairs, didn't you, Kevin?
He went full liar.
Yeah.
Instead of getting mad at the TV, I got mad at Kevin.
Yeah. I'm ducking suckas. That includes this guy over here.
All right, gang. Well, we got a show to do. It's time for us to sit down and talk about everything that happened on Sunday. We've got ourselves a very special Bolt Insight lined up for you. And a hefty as a motherfucker Ask Bolt fan. But let's waste no time. Let's start at the top. Let's talk about it.
I'll talk about it.
Chargers lost. 38 to 41.
You don't say.
I don't know if you heard.
Chargers lost. Okay.
Okay. So we're done with that.
Oh, yeah. All right. On to new business.
On to Green Bay.
Yeah. God. It was such a exciting game until it wasn't. Yeah. It was very reminiscent of that last game that we had against the Cleveland Browns where it was just a shootout between Herbert and Baker Mayfield, and
we came down on the other side of it this time.
We did. Unfortunately, somebody had to lose that game, and it ended up being us.
I just wish our defense and offense could be good at the same time. Is that too much to ask? Can we not? This is why we can't have nice things, guys. Yeah. Like it's just crazy. Like you saw what Austin did. You saw what our offense was able to do once they got it rolling. When Justin has time, you can see what he's able to do. And the defense just was running around with their heads were cut off. Like they didn't know what they were doing. It was just the consistency is out of control. I don't know what's happening.
Well, and that's the thing is like up to this game, the defense was very strong against the run. Very strong. I mean, we were talking about that stop the likes of Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Like one of the best running backs in the league. And up until this game, had they kept that same mentality of being able to stop the run, we would have come out with a win on this. But there was two huge runs, and one of those was it was like the start of the drive. They ran it for like 75 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah. First play right there. Boom.
So like take that back and get back like the run defense that we've seen earlier in this year. That's an entirely different game.
It's just weird because I didn't put too much into the fact that we were playing bad offenses, but I think that is just
we just decided that wasn't the case.
That wasn't the thing. That's not a thing here. Okay, these offenses are okay, and we were just really dominant on defense. I just don't know. I don't know where our defense is. Like,
yeah,
we've seen this defense now against good teams. And it's unfortunate, and it's hard to say super, super excited about watching the defense because you don't know what you're going to get. There's right. like, you don't have the ability to like lean into like, oh, we got this. You know, this is going to be a good game. It's just, you never know what it's going to be. And is it scheme? Is it the players? Is it, what is it? You know,
You know what you're going to get against bad teams. It's just when we play good teams, it feels like we can't do anything. It's right. not, hey, we're going to take away this aspect of the game and force them to beat us doing this.
Yeah.
It's like we trying to do everything so then we can do nothing.
You but know, that's the like thing is like
500 yards of offense.
That's I know. You cannot do that. That's insane. Unacceptable.
Multiple times already this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like we weren't out of it. We were always in it until the very end. And that was the one, it was the last drive. There's just so many things that like if just one tiny little thing gets changed, if one tiny bit of luck goes the Chargers' way, it's an entirely different outcome. And the luck has just not been on our side because, again, this is another 3-point loss. This isn't a blowout. We didn't lose by double digits. You know, we lost by 3 points. And so these guys are always in it. There's just one little bit of edge that is keeping us out of some of these wins. And it's so frustrating.
It's just, what's to say that we shouldn't win that game 38-21, you know, like if our defense just shows up at all, it's not a one score game,
right?
We're not on the wrong end. It's just that we win that game handily. When you score 38 points, you should never lose a game in the NFL.
Yeah.
You should win pretty comfortably.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's just frustrating that it's like, oh, the offense was great, but just not good enough. You know, it's like if we scored 38 points, that should be a done deal. It's right. sealed up, not even close. Not, it's just a one score game. We came out on the wrong end of it. I really don't understand what the problem is with our ability to play good teams. I don't know if we psych ourselves out or coach gets scared. Like, I don't really understand why it's so drastically different. And it's consistently, I don't know. I really don't know. It's frustrating because I want us to be good. And I know that we have the talent to be really good. But it's just, it is not consistent enough. But I say we talk about the offense because the offense was awesome.
The offense was fantastic. I mean, Justin Herbert, 27 for 40, 323 yards, 4 touchdowns. Just that one little pick.
And then he was beating himself up. He's like, we would have had a chance if I wouldn't have thrown that interception. But dude, you threw 4 touchdowns. Like, you were single-handedly, and you were dealing at times when we didn't even have Keenan out there.
Right.
He was throwing to everybody and anybody that was
Quentin Johnston
with touchdown. That was nice.
If you go back and rewatch the live stream,
I've never seen him celebrate louder and more intense in my
entire life. I was through the roof.
So
for Quentin Johnston.
Just the house we're on has a basement, and the force that he slammed onto the ground, I was like, oh shit. He was so freaking excited. It was really fun to see.
That's awesome.
But that was what crazy about that game. We were in it. We felt like we could win up until the last freaking moment.
Right.
And those
we just needed the ball back.
Just the
as long as we got the ball back, we would have won it. We would have been able to get it done. And that's, again, like, we have 3rd and 15. And you're going to give up 13 yards.
Yeah.
Like, let's go. Put it like force them to kick a long field goal, not hey, they're going to get an opportunity at a 4th down here to really ice this game. It's let's go get this guy and make him make a great throw. He threw to a wide open receiver who was comfortably ran out of bounds. You know, it's just like, I don't know. I can't put my finger on what we're doing on defense and why it's so consistently bad. But Keenan Allen,
let's talk about offense.
11 catches, 175 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
While hurt and missing the whole quarter.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's out of control.
And seeing one of those touchdowns go to Jalen Guyton, so good to see him come out and perform as well. I mean, this was a very offensively exciting game. It wasn't for that first quarter. That first quarter was a little rough.
It felt like there was a team coming off a bye and a team that had a short week. Yeah. Like, they came out a little slow, but they picked it up, but it just felt like a little slow to start.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like Justin playing so well in this game was a little bit of like a leave me alone type of thing? Like, you guys are blaming me for like us winning games just not the right way. And now look, and we lost. Like, does this put that magnifying glass a little bit more on Staley with Justin playing so well?
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah. I think he doesn't have to say it. I think it's just the fact that, you know, he is the reason why we're winning a lot of these games. If we had one of these mediocre quarterbacks on our team, we're getting blown out. So I'm just grateful for him. Even when he has I'll take the bad weeks and a win, but when he goes off, it's so exciting to watch.
Yeah.
And the offensive line, speaking of the offense, they had a great game. They gave him time. And he
didn't give up a sack.
Look what happened.
Trey Pipkins was a little bit.
He's been sus. He's been sus a lot the whole season. I've been saying it, but they at least held it together, and he was not on his back.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. To keep Justin from having to take a sack is pretty awesome. That's a great day for the offensive line for sure. Yeah, looking over at Keenan Allen. Speaking of Keenan Allen, the Chargers put out all the areas in which Keenan Allen is top five.
Yeah.
For all the people that are saying Keenan Allen's not a top five, let us remind you that Keenan Allen is now tied for fourth for touchdowns, he is in fourth for yards this season. He is number one in receptions, 73 receptions.
That's so many receptions. Holy crap.
And he's fifth in first downs. So he's clutch, he's getting receptions. He's getting the yards and he's getting the tutties.
Yeah.
Guy's top five. Yeah. Shut your mouth.
The only other guy that's top five in all those categories is Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, what? I don't know what the Chargers did to piss off everyone everywhere in the media, because it's ridiculous. Like, Justin Herbert has a bad game, but we win. He's not elite. They won, but he's not elite.
Yeah.
He has an incredible game, but we lose. Yeah, he's good, but he's not good enough. Obviously, he didn't take the team and put him on his shoulders and just force them to win. And then same thing with Keenan Allen, his entire career. Okay, cool, good numbers, but they don't even have an explanation as to why. Because they'll say, oh yeah, great route runner, so smart, tactician, but then no, he's not top five, but for no reason. It's just crazy.
I think it's postseason, dude. We're just not a postseason team, and those guys get extra accolades when they do stuff there, and we just haven't been in a very long time, which sucks. So.
Well, let's see. Looking over at this tasty little tidbit, during Staley's tenure on defense, 2021, they allowed 27 points per game. That was ranked 29th in the league. They had a 9-8 record. 2022, they allowed 22.6 points per game. They were 21st, finished with a 10-7 record. And this year so far, we are allowing 23.9 points per game on average, ranked 24th with a 4-5 record. We can't seem to stop people from getting 20 points.
It's just crazy that, like, you know, we spend all this money on all these players and we have like the most expensive defense in the league pretty much. And this is what it is. It's just, what's happening?
It begs the question. It really does. I mean, execution? Is it game plan? Is it coaching? Is it?
That's a lot of lack of execution.
Did you guys hear what Khalil Mack came out and said after the game in his post game?
Do tell.
Oh, you didn't hear this?
No.
Oh no. This could be not fun for you.
Okay.
He basically came out and said, everything that we practiced all week, they did the exact opposite that whole game. Like, we were preparing for the complete opposite of what the Lions came out and did to us. So we were playing on our heels a little bit and trying to figure things out as we went.
So that's preparation.
Yeah. That sucks.
That does suck.
So we don't have to guess what happened anymore. That's pretty clear what happened on defense then.
Well, I just don't know what to say about that.
I'm not believing. I don't. Hey, you didn't hear it from the source, so just don't believe me. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I'm lying.
Let's look at some other post-game quotes, shall we? let's see. Here's Herbert on his team. So there's a lot of fight in this team. Obviously, not the outcome that we would have wanted, but those guys didn't quit. Offense, defense, special teams. They gave everything they had for all four quarters, and we fell short. Wasn't good enough today, but I don't question the effort, the dedication by this team. So God bless them. They're trying.
That's Rosie.
I mean, they're giving it all. She's good, Captain. Let's see. Keenan Allen said, unfortunately, one of those close games. We just didn't make enough plays to win the game. I thought early on it was going to be a shootout, and it ended up being a shootout. You've got two great offenses. No matter how good a defense is, it's hard to stop a great offense.
Yeah, I think they have the best run team.
They have the best offensive line in the league.
It's crazy.
They completely stonewalled our entire pass rush.
We didn't get a sack. How many pressures did we get?
I don't know. Maybe a couple if they're being generous.
It's just so crazy to see like last week to this week.
Yeah.
Like I had prepped a whole bunch of funny little videos to post on Twitter and shit if we got sacks. I spent a lot of time doing this. I didn't get to use any of them.
And let's see. There's one more quote here from Staley. Said, I know the players that we have on. I know the players that we have on this team. I know the group that I've been coaching for 9 games, and it is good enough to beat anybody we play. We've played the very best teams in the NFL, and we've been in every single football game. The very best teams in the end of the NFL, and have been down to the wire. We're 4-5. We're still a work in progress, but we have the right men in that group, offense, defense, and special teams. We're good enough on offense, defense, and special teams to beat anybody we play. We're going to go back to work. We're going to stay together. We have our season in front of us, so we have to get on to Green Bay. We have to get on to Green Bay, too.
We do. We get to go to Green Bay.
Shut up. Is this feel a little bit like he's like, I don't know, man. It kind of feels like he's throwing himself under the bus here.
Yeah.
It's like we have the good enough players. I know the guys are in there. They're awesome. They're the best. So
and I'm blowing it.
Why do we have 5 losses then? You know, like why are we under 500 then, coach?
Yeah. It's still even when he says we're still a work in progress. I'm like, but you've had a lot of these guys for about 2 years though? And nothing's really changed. So I don't know what we're going to do this week to amplify. I don't know why I'm being so negative right now. It's just that
game. I know, it's hard.
That game hit me freaking hard.
It did.
Sorry, guys. My apologies. Let me little reverse action. I'm ready.
Ready for what?
For a good time.
Ready for some football.
I'm ready.
It's really tough. You know, you got to sometimes just take a step back and look at the situation that, hey, the season is not over. We have not been mathematically excluded from playoffs or anything like that.
35%. That's our percentage of making the playoffs.
There you go.
So we still got 35.
We still got it, baby. So just hang on, gang. The season's still going, and anything and everything can happen.
When next week, maybe we're 45%. After that, 55, 65. Yeah. Time will tell.
It's a crazy stock market when it comes to wins and losses in the NFL and your chances of making the playoffs. So
the Broncos just beat the Bills in a walk-off field.
Is it over?
Oh yeah. My God.
God dang it.
So we're tied for third now. Cool.
Yeah. You know what else is cool? You can go on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/chargerchat. Check out all the fun, good times we have over there. We've got our live streams up over there, and you can join and watch it with us whenever we do that. And we've also got some new names to shout out over at our Patreon. We've got Craig, not the same Craig, but we've got a Craig.
Craig number two.
Craig 2.0.
Craig 2.0.
And we've also got Matthew Trusinski. So
welcome to the party, pal.
Thank you guys for joining our Patreon, patreon.com/chargerchat. And if you don't want to go over there, that's totally fine. You can go on over to our regular website, chargerchat.com. Check out all the cool stuff we got over there, t-shirts, hoodies, and stickers. You can chat it up with other Charger Chatteteers in the member section and ask questions in Ask Bolt Fam. So go check out chargerchat.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, gang, time to go on to the next segment, a Bolt Insight we've got lined up. Pretty darn special. I'm excited to see this. Let's go to now Bolt Insight with maybe a fan of the year.
As soon as the clock starts, your ass is mine.
When I met Justin Herbert, man, that dude is big as hell.
Yeah, the goal is to just keep it rolling.
We'll come in hype because we have a lot of things to be excited about.
All right, guys, we're back with another Bolt Insight, and we are super lucky to have fan of the year, Guillermo Sandoval, the Charger Warrior. What is going on, Guillermo?
Not much. Just, you know, recovering from game day. You know, it always seems like I've been in a car accident after game days, whether we win or not.
Yeah.
Just setting up, doing what I do is, just, you know, it's exhausting.
Yeah, you bring that energy, man. So let's get into it. We got to know more about you, man, because it's so exciting. You're representing us as fan of the year. So people want to know more about you. So let's kick it off with, you know, how did you become a Charger fan?
You know, growing up, I was a big diehard wrestling fan, and I love football. I just didn't have a team. So when I was stationed in Camp Pendleton, me and my buddies saw a game on TV, and obviously, it was the Chargers. I forgot who they were playing, but I just saw this monstrous linebacker named Junior Seau. And I'm like, man, this guy's not human. So I'm like, man, this is a good team. That's when I started, you know, liking the Chargers. And I saw a few games before I was deployed. So I started to like or become more of a fan after I got out because I was always deployed to Japan during football season. So I really didn't, you know, follow that much on football after that. But yeah. That's how I became a Charger fan.
So you've been a longtime fan. You're early 90s, man. Let's go. Yeah. Uh-huh. I love it. Yeah, same here. I've been a fan forever. And that's a really cool story. And, you know, I got to ask you, man, we saw the video that came out, the Chargers put out, of you at practice and them and Coach Staley announcing you're the fan of the year. Can you walk us through how you got to that moment, like everything that kind of went up to like being there at practice and what it was like when he said that?
So yeah, Liliana, one of the reps at the Chargers or from the Chargers, she called me up and she said, "Oh, I know it's I think this was on Tuesday. I'm like, oh, I know this is a late notice, but we've been shooting some videos with veterans who are Charger fans. So I just wanted to see if you could come to, you know, the headquarters and, you know, shoot a video." And I kind of had an idea, but not really about this. But, you know, they kind of threw me off about, you know, them already shooting videos with other veterans, which, you know, I found out it was a lie just to get me there.
Nice.
And so, yeah, they mic'd me up at this interview room. And supposedly they were running late. So they're like, hey, to kill time, would you want to see the team practice? I think they're about to finish up. Like, sure, I guess. And yeah, they walked me to the team practice. Meanwhile, these two other guys were asking me about how I became a Charger fan, what it is to be a veteran. And they asked me about my illness. Meanwhile, we were seeing the team practice. And yeah, they broke up practice. Coach Shelley was talking to the team about the upcoming Jets game. And then next thing you know, he's like, oh, we have a special guest. And I thought, like, okay, we're going to have a World War II veteran or Korean War veteran or, you know, Iraqi freedom veteran.
Yeah.
I looked around. I really didn't see nobody. And then he's like, he thinks he's here to shoot a salute to service video. But what he doesn't know, he's our 2023 Chargers Fan of the Year. Like, and that's when my mind went berserk. I kind of lost a sentence then.
Oh man, what a cool way to find out. Like, yeah. And it's crazy that, you know, because we talked to Enrique last year and they kind of did the same thing to him where it was like, come in for an interview, but not really this. And then they kind of sneak attacked you. So like, what was that like? Really just kind of not, you know, knowing what was going to happen.
I mean, it was crazy because, you know, being the other nominees who, you know, I believe are very well deserving. I would have been as proud, you know, as they won, if, you know, if I won. Yeah, we actually thought it was going to be during game days, you know, especially the Bears. So when we didn't see it, it kind of threw me off. So, okay, they're going to do it during the Lions game. So I really wasn't expecting it, you know, to be honest, but, you know, I was feeling it a little bit then, but yeah, it was just surprising. I still don't have any words to describe it. They threw me off so, so well.
Well, so, you know, being fan of the year, there's so many Charger fans and you basically are representing us and, you know, being fan of the year, what does that mean to you? The organization picked you as fan of the year.
I mean, it means a lot to have people, you know, not only this year, but last year saying, oh, you got my vote, you know, like you're a fan of the year in my eyes. I mean, it's still surreal to me because deep down, and I talk to a lot of people, I really don't see myself as a super fan, just any regular fan. You know, I just happen to look like a freak at game days doing it. Because the way I act at the games, you know, running up to people, you know, try to get everybody loud, they're, you know, especially third outs. I think that's what every fan should do. I guess use this persona as, you know, a way to, you know, get, you know, people to like stand up and cheer. So, yeah, it means a lot to me, you know, because I'm just doing this because, you know, I'm having fun with it. So, yeah, to have people come up to me, especially, you know, giving me well wishes. It's really like weird because I'm not, you know, believe it or not, I'm here at home. I'm a quiet guy at work. I'm quiet. They, you know, when it comes to game days, you know, that's when, you know, my inner mask comes out. And I appreciate all the love and support from all the fans. And it means so much to me to be selected to represent the Charger fans.
That's awesome, man. And then I got to ask you, because, you know, being a diehard fan for as long as you've been, how do you handle it as a fan, like the ups and downs of the season? Like, we clearly just had a tough loss. What do you do to kind of keep yourself at that, like, this is my team, I love them no matter what kind of energy? What do you do?
I mean, always keeping the faith. I think every fan, no matter what team you represent, you always go into the stadium feeling and hoping that we're going to win. Obviously, you know, NFL, we can't win all games, so it's expected. You know, there's some good moments, there's some heartaches. So it's just, you know, as a fan, we have to, you know, embrace it, whether we win or not, and then just start over next week, hoping for the best.
Same. Yeah, that's the only way most of us can get through those tough losses, and I think that's great. And, you know, the idea of you just, like, taking upon yourself third downs just to, like, at all times trying to get fans up and excited. Like, that's what Fan of the Year is all about, man. And we're just so excited that you are our Fan of the Year. And
I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, we're really excited for that. And excited to see, you know, the Super Bowl, and you get to go do all that fun, cool stuff at the end of the season. So I wanted to ask you, you know, we always, you know, trying to wrap these up with, there's been so much Charger history and you've been a fan for as long as you've been. What has been like your favorite Charger moment?
I mean, I have several ones. One that comes to mind, and I know it's not all good. My friend George from San Diego, when we were in StubHub, I guess he had his son in a crowd, and Keenan Allen scored a touchdown. And he came over to him and gave him the TD ball.
Oh, wow.
And I'm over here, you know, waving my phone. Over here, waving my belt.
Yeah.
The infamous Charger belt. In a crowd, you know, just tried to show it off. And here comes Keenan Allen, grabs my belt, puts it upside down, and he gets flagged for excessive celebration.
That's awesome.
So I know he got 15-yard penalty. I'm not sure if he got fined, but, you know, when I was at the team practice, I did tell him, you know what, I'm not sure if you remember, but that was my belt you hold for like the XS Affinity. So I told him, hey, it's one of my favorite memories as a fan, but I understand you got penalized, and you know, deep down, I really apologize if you know this caused you some inconvenience.
Well, that's an amazing story. That's so cool, man. And I want to last thing. What are your hopes? What do you hope to see the rest of the season? You know, you're going to a lot more games. You got a lot going on for Fan of the Year. What do you hope from our team that we're going to accomplish, or what do you want to see happen the rest of the season?
Again, you know, as a fan, I was hope for a win. I know we have some good games, and then we have some tough games coming up ahead. I do understand that. My hope as a fan is to at least, and I think we still can, make it to the playoffs, and then, you know, we'll go from there.
Yeah. No, I'm all for that, dude. It's hard to get out of the kind of the slump of being sad after a loss like that. But we'll come back, we'll get a win, we're 500 again, and we'll just keep going.
You know, it was a tough, good game, tough loss. Does ourselves off, not only as a team, but as fans, and just, you know, start fresh from, you know, for next year, next week.
100%. Well, Guillermo, thank you so much for your time, man. It was so great hearing your story.
Oh, likewise. Pleasure's all mine.
So excited for you and everything you get to experience coming up. And thanks again, man. We appreciate your time.
Oh, likewise. Thanks for having me. Boats up.
Let's go.
Well, what a special interview, what a special opportunity, and what a great guy for Fan of the Year to go
awesome.
To.
He's awesome. I remember meeting him back in 2019 at StubHub. He was just cool. Like, he'd just go take pictures with everyone. He was always in a great mood. Like, that's, you know, the best example of a Fan of the Year is, like, even keeled, not too north, not too south, just trying to get people hyped. So I'm excited for him.
He's
and
a great hype
he
man.
Gets to get to experience here coming up.
Big time. No, seeing him in the stands, seeing him get excited, tongue out and everything, like, that's what I would ever aspire to be as a fan, is to be that person that no matter what's going on, no matter how excited or defeated I feel inside, that I can go out there and try to tell everybody, come on, we're fans. Let's do this. Let's let them know we're here. Let them hear you.
Yeah.
Well, Guillermo, congratulations. And 100%. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with Kev. That really is special. We love hearing stories like that about how it, because we've never been there. We've never been Fan of the Year. So I love hearing everything that they did for you. I'm so glad they treated you so well. And hey, have fun at the Super Bowl for crying out loud. That's awesome.
Crazy.
All right, folks. Time to go on to the next segment. Ask Bolt Fam.
Were they nice?
Tune in to find out.
Time will tell.
We'll be right back.
Time to put your money where your mouth is.
Hi, guys.
Don't jam a thumb up his butthole. That's what you do.
I wet myself in excitement.
Both are hungry.
Your thoughts are like totally appreciated.
Catch you later, dude.
Okay, love you, boy.
That's right, folks. Time for Ask Bolt Fam, and we start off with Adrian.
Certified fresh, sure.
Okay, who asked the question?
Okay.
How do you guys always be so optimistic after a disaster like this?
It's tough. It's tough.
We've done this to ourselves. We have no one else to blame but ourselves for forcing ourselves to be optimistic and excited, and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
I mean, it really forces you to look at what positives there are to be had with this team, because this isn't just a dumpster fire of a team. There are positives to be had. It's amazing how this was a game prior to this game, we were very worried about our offense. Our offense was having a hard time getting cooking. And now we have a game like this where finally the offense does cook, but the defense doesn't hold their end of the bargain. So it's been a very flip-floppy, like, great defense, not so good offense. You know, great offense, not so good defense.
Well, and it's crazy because we have, at respective times, each side can be good enough to win a game.
That's what I'm saying,
So we've seen it. So, like, the fact that we can't put it all together is just, we want that so bad as fans. We know we can be. We know how exciting this team can be if we can just put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why there's reason for optimism, because you've seen good on both sides.
Exactly. Like, we still know that we've got playmakers on this team. Just, it's so frustrating not really being able to definitively say this is the problem.
I know. It's like the Jets. Like, you just suck on offense. That's it. You suck.
Just, yeah. It's clear as day.
You're just bad on offense, and that's why you can't win games.
Yeah.
You don't, going into each week, you don't know. So there's obviously cause for optimism because you're like, this could be the week that they both hit and we go on a little run here and things look really good.
1 week we'll get 8 sacks and 4 touchdowns. Imagine that. I'm going to be there for that front row.
So yeah, at one point, both sides of the ball are really going to show up. And maybe that'll be Green Bay.
Maybe.
And we'll all be able to celebrate then. But yeah, man, it's a really weird season. Any given Sunday, we just saw the Bills lose to the Broncos. The Browns like beat the Ravens. Yep. Who are like the number one team in the league practically.
Anything can happen.
Beat the Bengals.
Texans beat the freaking Bengals. So it's just, it's crazy. You know, there's no definitive, this is a great team, this is a terrible team. There's a lot of teams that are just kind of like in the middle right now. And we just happen to be one of those teams. And we know that they could be better.
Just got to find our identity.
Got to find the identity, find the groove.
Like there's no more time. The time is now.
The time is now. The place is here.
Win out. Win them all.
Come on. Adrian, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Crack Dolphin.
Certified fresh.
Okay, who asked the question?
Fair enough.
I have a very serious question I'd like to offer up. It took me much thought to ensure that this was researched and thought out enough to have a serious, meaningful conversation. So I have to ask. What the fuck? Thank you. And I look forward to the serious debate this starts.
I like that. It's just something different, Kyle, about being in the room with him when he does that. It's just like...
Yeah, the loud, the impact of his voice.
It's next level. It's good times.
Yeah.
It shook me.
It shook me. Kevin's been shook.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know. If we knew...
We wouldn't be able to do anything.
We wouldn't be in this. Yeah.
It felt like...
So if now, we knew it would be worse.
We're calling the Chargers headquarters going like, get me Brandon Staley.
Get on
I know. Line. Brandon, hello? They hung up on me.
Yeah, just like the fact that we now know the fun little tidbit you gave us, Kyle, about Khalil Mack's statement. It clearly was a team that had a week, almost 2 weeks to prepare for us. We had...
Changed all their tendencies.
We had 6 days. Didn't figure it out in the first half, which we don't seem to make adjustments really fast in the first half. Second half, we played a bit better. It wasn't as horrendous as the first half. I think that's just what it was. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Preparation. Because the offense looked great. They didn't have, they were just playing their off. They were playing that. They were being them.
Yeah.
They weren't trying to do anything else than being them. They're throwing it down the field. Justin looked awesome. So it's just, I don't know. I feel like we're just, Staley's not quite locked in terms of how his scheme is going to work. And it's just so complicated. And they're not like how you could need something that complicated and look that bad is just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just there's too much easy, wide open stuff.
Yeah.
It's just lapses in coverage type stuff.
Too easy. So.
Well, there you go, Crack Dolphin. Thank you for asking the question.
Don't be a stranger
and stay off the crack.
Yeah.
Let's move it on now to Big Red Bolts fan. Who asked the question? The kick is up and it's fuck. How should I feel after this epic bout? I want to scream and stomp and shout, then go to X and pout. Is it long past time this coach is out? Nay, nay, I say, and I banish thee to a timeout. Our talented team should be oh so stout that nothing at all could keep our name out of the winning column that good teams espout. Our losses are tough and hurt, no doubt. Yet the games are so close that the fans do shout. The stats like the players are strewn about. How many stars on this team stand out? Sadly, fair friends, much of our talent is out with the gout. Yet here we all are standing proudly about in spite of the pundits who keep counting us out. Week after week, still we resist all their doubts. To each of them I say, good sirs, get out. As together we stand and united we shout, bolt the fuck up, over and out. Punctuation makes this a question, no doubt. Caleb, you bye, I proudly shout.
Wow.
That was really good.
Really good.
That poetry just helped me to feel better about the team.
I felt a little better. Didn't
that moved me.
It did. I'm not kidding either. I felt definitely better.
The award for best writing goes to.
Yeah. We got to have an end of the year award for Ask Bolt Fam. We could do something special.
That might hurt feelings.
Yeah, maybe. Right. We're going to single you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is... it's great to stand by there, buddy. Yeah, just like going through the questions for Ask Bolt Fam was tough enough. I could not swim through the river. I'm not Andy Dufresne. I couldn't swim through the river of shit that was Twitter on game day.
Oh, but, as soon as the halftime hit, I was like, all right, I can't be on this anymore. it's just can't be done. It's too sad. I get it. Everyone should be sad and angry.
Absolutely.
But
go through the feels that you have.
When everyone's sad and angry at the same time, it's really a lot.
That's not my hangout. No. I don't go like, what do I want to do on a Friday night? I know. I will go. I'll go to the club where everybody's pissed off at the same thing. That's a good time.
Sounds great.
Fire Staley.
In the club.
I can't tap my foot to that. I'm sorry. No. Big Red Bolts fan, thank you for the awesome poem. That was a lot of fun. Thank you. Let's move on now to Derwin's Dirty Duck. Who asked the question?
Justin Herbert, 27 for 40, 323 yards and 4 touchdown passes. We obviously won, right? Fellas, we won, right? Surely. But what a game to watch. Entertainment at its finest. All our offensive football. As for the defense, neither team could cover my 90-year-old grandma with a walking cane. Has me thinking. What is the best game or stat line that you remember from a Chargers QB in a loss? Like, do you remember any times where Rivers balled out in a loss? P.S. How bloody good is Tony Romo in the commentary box? Can he please do every Chargers game?
Or does he want to be our coach?
Coach?
He knew exactly what was going to happen.
Coach Romo?
I'm not kidding, dude. He was saying some crazy stuff.
I'm not kidding.
And then it immediately happened. They were letting him draw on the play as it was happening. He's like, he's going to go this way and then cut back. And like, oh, he did that.
Yeah.
Got it.
Good.
Yeah.
He is fun to listen to. He seems very neutral too. It's not, sometimes you listen to guys, you're like, God, relaxed guy. I get it. You love him, but chill.
I get it.
Yeah, he loves football, so he's awesome.
Yeah.
I do like Tony Romo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't... When was the last time Rivers went out of his mind and we lost?
With the Packers. He threw for like 400-plus against the Packers 1 year. We lost.
Yeah. I felt like there was a weird
at
one
Lambeau.
With...
I think that's the last time we were at Lambeau, actually.
Was it?
Yeah. Stat check.
I feel like there was one against the Patriots, too, or there was like... They each threw for like 500 yards or something crazy.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Let's see here. Yeah, the last time was in 2019. We won.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, we won. We had another game. And back in 2011, we played the Packers and we lost 45-38.
That's it. Let's look at the stats on that bad boy.
2011. Let's look at this box score.
A long time ago, but look at those stats.
Let's go. What do we got?
Let's go.
Hold on to your butts.
Celebrate. I don't know why I remember that.
Bill Rivers threw 385 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But he threw for 3 interceptions.
Ah, Philip. Classic.
Classic
Phil.
Classic. Just gunslinging. Son of a gun.
Oh, you know what's sad? When you look at this game, we were the San Diego Chargers still. And then ESPN, like, it got rid of our logo because it doesn't know what it is. Oh, that sucks.
Okay.
Let's not dwell on the sadness too long.
We'll try not to, but there you go. Mm. Derwin's Dirty Duck.
Kyle.
Thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to OM Run, who asked the question.
Is it a scheme issue or a communication issue? I can't tell if the horrible defense is the play call or that players don't know where they're supposed to be.
What did Khalil Mack say?
Well, so the Khalil Mack thing, I feel like it was a matter of like they had, like you said, they were on the bye. Their coaches went back and looked at their tendencies too. That's what you're supposed to do on the bye week. Like, what would teams do to prepare for us? All right, let's not do that anymore. Like, let's go the opposite. And that's just what they did. And
totally different.
That's not to say that Coach Staley did a bad job. That's just to say that the Lions coaches did a really good job in their off time to switch up what they're doing and not be predictable. So I don't think it's a matter of Coach Staley was bad for looking at the tape that they gave us and coming up with a game plan. It was just that they came out and out, like, they did a really good job coaching. So I wouldn't say that that's really what he was saying, was Coach Staley sucked and we weren't prepared. It's just the Lions did a really good job of switching things up. So I don't know what the issue is on defense. It's got to be a communication issue, because but at the same time, you could say that that is the scheme, that there's too much to communicate. So, like, both, maybe?
Yeah.
All right.
A little column A, a little column B.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, wouldn't surprise me.
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go. OM Run, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to DJ Jones, who asked the question. Hey, y'all. Herbert Allen go off once again with a nice contribution from the others at times to give you 38. And Staley, your defense gives up 41. Unbelievable. Unacceptable. My question for you guys is, where do we go from here? Okay, love you, bye.
Green Bay.
We're going to Green Bay.
Up and to the right.
Up and to the right. Yeah, you going to look Green at Bay. A map. Yeah. 41 is a lot. It's a lot.
Let's just hope they don't do it again this week.
Yeah. So here's the deal. We just ran into a really great offense with an amazing offensive line. We're about to play a not good offense with not a great offensive line. So it's going to be another one of those, like, oh shit, do we look great again? Like, I hope it's a dominant. Please look great again.
Yeah.
So we need to go.
We have the Ravens.
Give me something to cling to.
And then hopefully they come back and, you know, we can beat the Ravens. Yeah. Like, that's just, we need to be optimistic and hopeful. That's all we got right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go. Be optimistic and hopeful there, DJ Jones. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to President Loki.
Certified Fresh.
Who asked the question? Do you believe that Staley is still too green to be a head coach? After three seasons, we still have the same defense issue.
So my quick take is, I think Brandon Staley.
Not quick enough.
Sorry, slow there. Slow on the uptake.
My quick take.
I think Staley could be a good head coach. I think he commands the locker room.
What are you? Are you looking for the answers up high?
I'm just having.
I know that's like when you're looking.
I know that's when you're digging.
Let me get this out. You're slowing me down. You're tripping me up. Okay, quit slowing me down and tripping me up. So Staley, I think he could be a good head coach. I don't think he should be a head coach and defensive coordinator any longer. I don't think there's anything good. If anything, he's screwing himself, because now when you look at him as a head coach, you can't separate him from the defense.
Right.
It's just what it is. Instead of having oversight, he's calling the plays. Like, you are literally setting yourself up for failure as a head coach by not being a great defensive coordinator.
Right.
I think he runs the team, all the things that you would need to do. He gets the guys excited. They all love him. It's what it feels like. It's just his defensive play calling is not working. So I think it's a yes and no at the same time. I'd like to see a defensive coordinator come in and make play calls and him just oversee and give his two cents into everything. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it feels a bit like pride goeth before the fall situation of not giving up those defensive calling duties.
Beautifully said.
I mean, there's a reason why that's a saying, is that, you know, if you're too proud to just know when it's time to let it go,
let it go,
let it go. And if it's meant to be, it'll come back to you. Yeah. But right now.
Yeah.
Or if it's meant to be, we'll just start winning games. You don't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
Anymore. Exactly.
Like, at this point, it's like, what really do you have to lose other than your pride of saying that, like, no, I'm going to call these defensive plays and I'm going to stick to my guns because that's what I said I'm going to do. Like,
if this is not an optimistic, shamelessly positive take.
All right.
But, well, I guess it could be for Coach Staley. Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
Okay, cool. I'm glad we worked that out. Good.
We talked it through.
So, yeah.
We all know that Staley's on the hot seat. It's just the reality of not winning enough football games and the defense underperforming. He's on the hot seat. I'm not saying I want him out, but I think he's on the hot seat. What's one way to help relieve that hot seat is to switch things up and hope it works. You know, like, just take a shot. The way it's going, we have now 2.5 years of doing it the way that we've been doing it, and it's not consistently working.
Right.
Let's try to switch it up. You know, you're on the hot seat. Things are not looking good for your future as the head coach of the Chargers. Make a head coach decision and switch things up, and maybe it pays off.
Yeah.
The question is, do you think, then my other question is, do you think Derek Ansley's ready for that?
Because it doesn't matter.
Just do it.
Just try. Just
do it.
Just do it. Just toss him in there. Yeah. How could we possibly know if he's ready if he's never done it before? Yeah. We have one preseason game of watching him. From what we see with him interacting with the guys, like, they all trust him and they love him and they want to play for him. So, like, give him a shot. Yeah. Like, allow yourself to be a head coach and not have to deal with all that. I agree. I think he could be a good DC or he could be a good head coach. Because we've seen him DC and he's done a great job with the Rams. People are digging up all these stats as to that was a fluke and all this. Okay, fine. But, like, I want to see if you could just be a head coach. Like, let's just see. I think that the guys still respect him. They're still on board. They still defend him. So I just think he has to try something, or else it's just going to continue going in the same trajectory, it feels like.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. President
Loki. We want you to be good. At the end of the day, I want Staley to be the best coach in the NFL.
Yeah, we do.
Still have my fingers crossed that that might happen.
Yeah. President Loki, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Marco Dalio, and shout out to Bolt King. I'll go with Marco Dalio on this one, who asked the question.
Staley, a defensive guru. Let me just go through the Lions' 10 offensive series today. You know, they got a field goal, touchdown, turned it over on downs. That was pretty good. But then you got another touchdown, kneel down, punt away. That was good. And then you got a touchdown, field goal. This is considered a defensive guru? Please explain it to me. My question, does this team need to be sold? Honestly, nothing has changed since moving. I think this team can go to any city, state, or country. It would be the same storyline with this ownership. FTR and FD guru of a coach. Okay, love you, bye.
I think...
jumped to selling the team right there.
Whoa.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah.
I don't... It's so tough that... I don't know that Staley ever said, I'm a defensive guru. Whoever called him a defensive guru did him the worst favor possible, because now that's all anybody can ever pull up when they say that, like, oh, he's a defensive guru. He's a defensive guru. Really? Whoever said that? And now it's just a problem, and it's something that's going to haunt him, because that was the title that he was given by somebody. I don't know who. And
the question is, has it ever been said to his face? And has he ever been like, no, I'm not? That's the question. Because if he's accepted it and by not saying anything,
I have to imagine.
He didn't self-dub, I am the defensive guru.
Yeah. He doesn't have, like, polo shirts at home with the embroidery that says defensive guru on it.
G-U.
Yeah. So, obviously it's another argument to why he should just be a head coach and not be calling the defensive plays.
But I guess what he's asking about is, like, ownership. It's been the same for however long they've owned the team. So yeah, I think that's the consistent. The question is, none of us can say anything that's going to change that.
Right.
The Chargers just went up in value a crazy amount of money.
Yeah.
So unless they went up and they're going to try and sell it, I don't think they will, but who knows?
Yeah. There you go.
My views on ownership have been stated. Kevin doesn't like it when I do it, so I'm not going to.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You do you.
No, it's not.
It's fine.
No, it's not.
No, I don't care. You can feel how you want to feel about that. I'm not a Spanos family guy. Like, they own my favorite team in the world. So, okay, cool. I'm not going to be shitty about them, but I could see your point that they haven't ever given me a Super Bowl win.
Right.
And they're not consistently a great playoff team by any stretch.
We know how we're talking right now about how Coach Staley needs to, like, step back and just be the head coach. I think the Spanos family need to step back and just own the team. Like, get out of all of the day-to-day crap. I think there's too much influence. They have too much of their foot in the door of what's going on. You can cut this out if you need to, but I just think that they need to own the team and then hire the right people that maybe they don't have the last name Spanos, but they are experts at what they do and bring them in to run the organization.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how I feel.
Fair. All right. There you go. Marco Dalio, thank you for asking the question. And Bolt King, thank you as well.
Oh, went from guru to fire. We need to get new ownership.
Sell a team.
I like that.
Fire sale.
All right, let's move it on now to Daryl 21, who asked the question. Hey, guys, this loss officially broke my defibrillator in my heart this time. So the only thing we can look forward to this week is you guys. My question is, after all the talk of resetting after the KC defensive letdown a few weeks ago, how the hell does Staley talk his way out of his defensive crap calling this week? It's easy to call a good defense against high school offenses like Chicago and New York, but when it comes to a decent offense, he mishandles it completely. Detroit is a good team, yeah. But giving up over 500 yards on defense, I mean, come on. The only reason I didn't have to call 911 on my heart was because Herbie was on fire. Props to our offense, despite some questionable calls from Kay Moore at times. 38 points, 4 QB touchdown passes. Wins you games in the real world, right? Thanks, guys. We need your positivity yet again. Okay, love you. Bye.
I'm going to turn my positivity dial up for you right now.
Crank it up.
I'm going to stop being a little grumpy guy. I'm going to change this up. We still got about 400 ass Bolt fam questions. So I'm going to be positive as shit moving forward.
Yeah, all right. Well, don't deplete them before the end of the show.
Okay.
Thank you. all right. Yeah, it's 500 yards on defense is that's a tough pill to swallow.
I just wish if we could have gotten after Goff, I think that would have been a completely different defensive
just one
game
hit.
Plan. Like they, yeah, just getting after him because he, when he wanted to throw, he just could throw wherever he wanted. Right.
He had all the time in the world.
And that just,
and he was making like, to give it to Goff, he had a good game. Like he was putting the ball wherever it needed to be and he was making the right decisions consistently.
Yeah.
They played a good game. It's just, we played a god awful defensive game.
It's frustrating, yeah, because we, that was the situation, was like we lost in Kansas City and then we were able to pull out two great wins. I mean, regardless of the caliber of team, you could say that they're the worst team in the NFL or whatever. Like, those are still big wins. Like, they're not, there's no teams with goose eggs for the win column. Everybody's got at least one win. And so it's not like these teams can't win. They have one and we beat them handedly. And so it's like, carry that momentum. We were hoping they could carry that momentum into this game. And it felt like they reset, especially after watching the All In, hearing all the things that they were saying. It's like, okay, they hear it. They get it. Going to get it back on track.
And I think what happened was they didn't get a chance to use one of their celebrations, and it really messed them up. They have been celebrating
just
5 times
one
a game.
Of those, yeah.
Just one turnover, and you I think it's a different defense.
Exactly.
It sparks some energy in them when they get to do that shit, and then it just happens.
It'll be an interesting stat to keep an eye on going forward. Like, if they can get at least one defensive celebration in, what does that do?
We need to start lowering the bar for what they celebrate for. So that way we can have more celebrations.
A tackle
and
for
maybe
loss.
They can compound.
Celebration.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the
Derwin
turnover
hit,
on downs.
Derwin gets a hit without a flag. Celebration.
Yeah. Celebration. Yeah.
They're all flying around in the end zone.
They all just take running head first dives.
It's a first down gain of 20, and they're all doing like the can you do the can together?
They all take their helmets off and throw them at each other. Targeting. Helmet to helmet.
Okay. That's their celebration?
Yeah, in honor of Derwin not getting
a
personal
like 20
foul.
Flags.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the longest yard when Adam Sandler, the refs were like throwing the game? Adam Sandler has had enough of it, so he throws the ball and hits the
ref,
right in the nuts.
Right in the nuts?
Yeah.
I think Derwin just needs to deck a referee one of these times.
Right in the
nuts. Like, you want to see targeting? Here it's coming.
I'll
see
you targeting.
Oh, I didn't see you there. Sorry.
Your grandkids are going to feel this one.
Yeah, I lowered my head. Didn't see you.
Sorry. It's a problem I have. Can't help it.
All right. Daryl 21, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Greg Farnan And shout out Bubba Duke 84.
Is that Farnsey?
That is Farnsey, yes.
That's what it is now,
Shout out Bubba Duke 84 and Wayne. But I'm going with Farnsey on this one, who asked the question.
Crikey, gents, that was some kind of game. 'Twas awesome hanging out on the live stream with the Kev and Wooldog. If Coach Duggan can stop having mini herbos, do you think he'll join us? It's awesome riding the highs and lows, and even better watching the upside-down American commercials. But as for the final outcome, well, the darn right suck turns. Anyway, question. Clearly the locker room loves Coach, and we all love Coach and Coach Duggan also. And also, I think Justin really loves Coach. What's your thoughts on Coach just being the head coach and letting DA be the actual DC? Surely stuff must get missed when DA works with the boys during the week and then Coach takes over on Mondays. Keep Coach as head coach and see what DA can do on game day. Couldn't be worse. K-love you, boy. Fonzie.
It was awesome. It's exactly what Kyle was saying.
Just said it.
Yeah. Yep. Your great minds think alike.
They're on the same
and I like page. How many times you said coach in this. I'm going to, you guys talk about it. I'm going to count.
Take a shot every time.
As far as me on the live stream, I have too many little herbos to jump on live streams. The first half, I had my 2-year-old or my 1-year-old trying to keep him from jumping in the pool. And then in the second half, I got to watch the whole game, but I had my newborn on my chest, so there was no opportunities for conversations or dialogue. I just wanted to watch the game, so I had to keep that baby asleep on me at all costs. Because if he woke up, he needed mom, I would have been back out doing pool patrol.
Farnsey, you're one short, buddy.
One short of what?
Nine coaches.
Ah. One call. You're one away. One away, Farnsey.
That's okay.
It's all right, man.
Yeah. And I mean, Kevin and I have the luxury of at least being able to be in the same room together. So that's always good.
We're going to do it anyways. Might as well throw up a camera and you guys can watch us be dumb.
Yeah. You can ride the roller coaster with us.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, if we could get Kyle on, it's tough again, like trying to get these things synced up. I feel bad for the people that we like ruin the game a half a second prior to like either a good play or a bad play. There's gotta be a way to like sync them all up together. NFL, you've got enough money. Figure it out.
Yeah.
We're trying to enjoy this game across state lines. And it's 2023
and different countries.
Yeah.
Australia.
Come on.
Yeah. South Africa.
Goodell, Farnsey, thank you for asking the question. Brother. Bubba Duke and Wayne, thank you as well. Moving on now to Andrew Gordon. Shout out Brian Hollers, Burger Bob, Herbert Top One, Mark Bisnelli Jr., Andrew Bolt Up Fam, Zachary Shelton, and Athir Kadir.
Oh. Holy smokes.
So this is a heavy topic. What we got here?
Let's find out.
Team attention! Staley, I said attention! As in pay the f***ing attention to your defense getting shit on every drive but one. Justin motherfucking Herbo and Keenan Allen basically won the battle, but you lost the war. Why shouldn't we fire you? Even QPI Johnston put his Johnston on the line. Why are we playing so soft? I want to see some behind enemy lines more than one way to skin a cat killing out there before Herbo's next bomb thrown is at your eyeballs because you're blind anyway. If you don't win out, soldier, cancel Christmas.
That was a good one.
All right.
Andy cancel Gordon. Christmas. Yeah.
All right.
That's a lot of people want to cancel Christmas.
Well, a lot of people want to fire Stanley. So I liked the way that Andrew Gordon at least phrased it because, one, it was funny.
Yeah, made me laugh.
I like the idea of why shouldn't we fire Staley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the reasons why we shouldn't? I love his interactions with Daniel Popper personally. So that's
he's still got a little bit of a fire in his belly.
Yeah, that's a check in that box.
Popper came out with a little article that was not holding back.
I like that too. I like that he wasn't holding back as well. I love this back and forth. That's so great.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, this is like old school.
Yeah, this is
reporter sharpens coach. Old school journalism.
Yeah,
he was not scared to say, "You're doing this all over again. This is exactly what happened. You're using the same excuses." It was just good to see him take a shot back because he can't do it in the interview.
Right.
He can't go and then be aggressive to Coach Staley in a question
Makes
more
sense.
Than he already has. But yeah. Yeah, why? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I want him to be good so badly. It was the same thing we had with Melvin Gordon. Like, I want you to be so good, and I want you to be on the Chargers forever. But, like, you, at the end of the day, you have to win. You have to win, or it's not. You can't just keep getting opportunities. And when it's if you're putting your name on the line that I'm calling plays, I'm a defensive coordinator, and your defense is like. Let's just say he was just the defensive coordinator. He wasn't the head coach.
Right.
Would we be okay with him staying? You know, like Lombardi, his offense wasn't ranked dead last in yards allowed per game. Like we were middle of the pack as an offense, and we still were like, this is not good enough. You got to go.
Right.
So if he was just a DC, then we'd be like, no, you're not doing enough. So
right.
That's why I think he needs to pull that parachute, go to be a head coach, like let Ainsley come in and fire things up.
See what it does.
Right. Yeah. I mean, something certainly has to be said for at least the culture that he's brought to this team. The
guy I love knows, his game balls. His I know. Game balls
the game balls are fun.
Love his game balls.
he doesn't. There's an unlimited amount of game balls. He is celebrating everybody after a win. I love his game balls.
I love the way that he talks both to the players, to the fans. I feel like that is something that we haven't seen as far as the way that he can talk, but obviously, you know, it doesn't equate to a win. Then who gives a shit? But I think that like, I don't know. I feel like the players are at least happier, or at least were happier. I can't speak for everybody, and I don't know what's going on in the locker room right this second, but it at least felt like for a while that they were really wanting to work with him, and it felt like things were clicking, things were going to happen. And I don't know, I have a hard time trying to think of, I mean, the reason why you shouldn't fire Staley, at least not right this second, is that there's still a chance. There's still an opportunity for them to go and find some kind of a miracle way to make it all the way. But once the opportunity becomes null and void, or if we are out of it, then all bets are off at that point.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's a good enough answer for you. Andrew Gordon, Brian Hollers, Burger Bob, Herbert Top One, Mark Bisnelli Jr., Andrew Bolta, Fam, Zachary Shelton, and Athir Kadir. But we appreciate you asking the question. Let's move it on now to Swipe of Visuals.
Swipe.
Who asked the question? What is going on with our defense? Staley, you've made my blood pressure reach max levels with how bad this is. On a side note, QJ got a TD. Anyways, what in the blazers is Staley cooking every week? One week, he's literally suffocating the life out of QBs. The next, he's letting them cook us. Anyways, here's the Dick Perfect graphic, and K-love you, bye. Also, frick the daggum AFC West.
All right, well, hey, come on, Kyle.
It's
come on, Kyle.
Sorry, I'm still Dick not
perfect, baby.
You can't tell me it's not fun when he makes a field goal to yell Dick Perfect. It's really fun.
I've never tried, and I never will.
You got to give it a go at least once.
You can't yell it with
even
baby
if you got earmuffs.
Chest.
The baby go,
Dick Perfect.
No, you got to do it like Steve Perry, like Dick Perfect.
Steve Perry.
So,
well done.
Well done, Swipa. We like it.
We love it.
I like your work.
I want some more of it. All right, but as far as the question.
We only knew
if we only knew what he's cooking, then
it's got to be a lot to come up with a game plan, head coach, and do all that shit on a short week. You know what I mean? It's just got to be a shit ton of work.
That sounds like so much work.
I'm tired
just
thinking
every
about
week
it.
Too. He just needed every a week, week off.
He just needs a break. He
17
needs,
games.
I think Staley would be a lot better if he had like three byes. Okay, give him enough time to prepare. Do it in three sections.
Or what if him and Ansley just took turns? Like every game, they took turns. Like, I need a break. I'm exhausted. I get 2 weeks to prep for Green Bay.
They'll like you leapfrog get 2 weeks each to other prep
for Baltimore, and then I get 2 weeks to prep for like you just.
I think we're on to something.
That's a good idea. I think
I'd also like to see just a clear, like if they get in like cahoots with NFL or whatever, and they each take turns with the series, and they let us know who's calling the plays at the bottom of the screen.
How you know I mean? Crazy would it be to prepare as an offensive coordinator if you don't know which DC you're getting?
Wild card.
It would almost be like us against the Lions this week.
You never know.
You don't know what they're going to come out and do.
Don't know what they're going to do.
They'll never know.
They'll never know. I'm on board for this.
I think we just solved it.
Yeah.
All right. Good episode, boys.
All right. Somebody get the Chargers on the line.
Yep. Chargers chat hotline at the Chargers headquarters.
It's like Batman. We have a signal.
We got a phone in there with us. Just goofy butthole.
Just a red pickup phone.
Yeah.
All right. Swipe of visuals. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Kevin B.
Certified Fresh.
Who asked the question?
What are the chances Jim Harbaugh would come and coach for the Chargers? Have you heard anything?
What are your sources telling you, Kevin?
I heard something. Who was I listening to? There was some YouTube I fell down the week when we won, and there was tons of stuff to like you wanted to go check out. I did that, and I heard somebody, I think it was Eisen or somebody like that, was talking about how they were talking with my brain, Jim Harbaugh, and he just was talking about who are some of the players you like in the league. All he was talking about was Justin Herbert.
Mm.
So I think you're psychotic to think we probably could get whoever we want as a head coach, knowing what our quarterback is. Mm. I'm sure there's coaches on the outside looking in like, I know how to fix that. You got the stud there. I know how to fix that other part.
Right.
So, you know, that's why it's hard. It's not like we're like a shitty, shitty franchise with a really shitty team. Like, it's not that at all. It's like, it'd be easy for somebody to be like, oh, wow, I know what to do with that.
Right.
So I don't see why that couldn't happen if we keep continuing to see these games like this. And,
right.
You know, at some point, I'm not ready to get realistic yet because that's not my style. But at some point, if we keep going like this, I'm going to have to get realistic. And I'll probably wait till the last game of the season. But I'll get realistic at some point.
Yeah. I mean, the chances do seem higher. I know that there were tweets recently about how he was facing a suspension with the college teams. And so now there's
hot take
pushes him to the NFL.
I like his competitive spirit. If he's going out there trying to steal signs and get all crazy,
if he's going out there trying to cheat, he's trying to win.
But technically,
who else cheated? Bill Belichick. And what did he get?
One.
Six Super Bowls.
Tons of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, and he seems like he's pretty smart about it. He didn't have any.
Not that smart. He got caught.
Well, somebody on his staff got caught.
Yeah, somebody on his staff got caught.
And he didn't know anything about
who hired that staff.
He's playing chess when they're playing checkers, is what I'm saying.
I see.
So you can look at this two ways. Harbaugh, if you want a podcast to talk about how awesome you are all the time, you know where to come.
Wow.
What?
What?
Who?
Where? All right. Yeah. We'll talk about chances when that time comes there, Kevin B. But thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Coach Moore, who asked the question.
I just read ahead. It's nonstop. This is all we got, though.
You put the little star there. You didn't want to say certified fresh.
Oh, certified fresh.
Jesus Christ.
Guys, thoughts on Chargers trading for Belichick. Not a fan of the idea, but sports radio threw the idea around because of stability and not first year head coaches not working out. Come on.
I think before this year, you'd have been like, oh my God, is that even a possibility? He just has a really shitty team right now. So that's why the only reason people are like, I don't know, Belichick might not be the guy, you know, but would they
There's no way. You don't fire Bill Belichick. If he decides to leave, then he decides to leave.
Yeah, but he's a
no never. You don't fire Bill
Belichick.
He's
a Ronin.
You let him just walk out the door. Just one day, Bill's not going to be there. It's just like, just hey, anybody seen Bill? Oh, it must have been that thing. He finally left.
Yeah, I don't. You can't fire Bill Belichick. So, I mean, if they go to him, they're like, hey, we're in a rebuild. We know we're in a rebuild. You're kind of old. Like, do you want to go somewhere else?
Well, that's, it's the question.
If it's like a respect thing for him, is what it could be.
Yeah. The idea of them trading him means they have control over Belichick, and no one has control over Bill Belichick.
Yeah, it's insane.
No. Yeah. Like, it would have to be like a very Belichickian, like, I will leave if you trade me to the Chargers. Mm. Okay, let me see. Okay. I'll make a call.
Tom.
And I'm also the GM. I'm going to be both. I know you don't like your coaches that do double duty, but I'm both.
But I'm both.
Baby.
There's the door.
Yeah,
there's
the door. Yeah, that's the other thing. There's no way Bill Belichick would come to the Chargers. He he has too much control of everything that's going on, and we would never give up.
The Spanos
control.
Would not know what to do with that. That would be the weirdest first day at the office when all the Spanos are just standing there like,
he's like, that's get my out. Job.
Yeah, he's like, out. Like, he like gets to the locksmith, locks all the doors to their offices, like, not he can't sit here.
Seat's taken.
Seat's taken.
Coach Moore, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Staley's Nuts and Bolts. Who asked the question?
Why are they targeting Derwin? Do they hate him? Do they hate us? Is it just part of the script? It almost seems like they want him to just let the other team score.
I don't...
Are they targeting Derwin?
I don't... Yeah, what does
with
that
his
mean?
Personal fouls, unnecessary offense penalties.
Do they hate him? Do they hate us? Who's they?
What are they targeting?
Who's they?
Got to unwrap this.
I don't know who the they is.
Let's say you remind me of the referees.
I don't know where you guys are going with this. This is scaring me.
Well, no, I'm looking at the question. It's just like, why are they targeting Derwin?
Like the referees.
Do they?
Why are the officials throwing all the flags?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think
that's what
it is. Oh, okay. Well, that's, I was confused. I didn't know.
Okay.
Who were they talking about?
Who's I read it. It made sense to me. So you guys were scaring me.
I didn't know. So thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, honestly, there was times during that game where we were bailed out a lot. Like, they were throwing some pass interference penalties that you could say they were pass interference, but they were a little ticky tacky, and we were getting the benefit of the doubt. We had a Justin Herbert roughing the passer penalty that was very sus. So I don't know. I just think that I wouldn't ever blame the officials on that game. That game we lost that. That wasn't we got ticky tacked to death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Quinn got like so many pass interference penalties.
He did.
That was crazy. He was doing more. He was producing a lot. If they gave him yardage for that, he'd had over 150.
But if he would have caught that one ball, that would have been.
Oh my God, it would have been to the house. Talk about first touchdown.
That would have been amazing. I am glad that he got the touchdown.
We need to get him some little giant stick-em. You know what I mean? The kid that had that, he couldn't get his hands apart. Yeah, he gets to his chest. Yeah, we need that for Quentin.
All right. Staley's Nuts and Bolts, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Unanimous, who asked the question.
What dirt does Tim Telesco have on the family to still be employed? Why are we drafting developmental first rounders? We aren't even dressing Spiller. What the fuck is going on? 2, would you draft high floor or high ceiling players? Can't love you, bye.
What the
fuck is going on?
That was a great voice for that line alone.
All right. So, the idea of a first rounder being a developmental player.
It's not good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. First rounders need to come in and play right away.
I get the mentality because we were not expecting to be at this point in the season where
we weren't expecting
down
to
both
need
Mike
him.
Williams and Josh Palmer.
Yeah. But that's the point. Then why do you draft him? Like, first rounder should be a guy that comes in and makes impact right away.
Right.
So the thought is, why do you, and would Quentin have been there in the second round? Like, if everyone in the league saw him as a developmental player, they're probably not going to draft a developmental player in the first round. So that's kind of the question. It's like,
makes sense.
Did we go too high in drafting him? Because that's not to say he's going to be a bad player, like, but
right.
Is he that second rounder that's like a stud and you got him at a place where you can draft a quote unquote developmental player a little bit. Mm-hmm. Whereas the first round, those guys should be stepping in and making a big impact right away. It's not really the place where you take we'll see what he's like in a couple of years. You take a receiver in the second or third with those ideas, like Josh Palmer, which was perfect.
Right.
You know, so I agree. First round pick shouldn't be developmental. If they really thought that he was going to be that developmental, I don't think they did. They probably thought it was going to be a couple weeks and he'd be ready to rock and roll. It's just taking a little longer than they originally thought when they drafted him.
Right.
Now he's got a tutty maybe a little more confidence going into the Green Bay game.
Right.
Well, the spotlight's going to be on him, especially God forbid Keenan can't.
Shoulder,
with that when he left with that shoulder injury, it was just
and
like,
Gerald Everett too.
But isn't it weird? Like, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but like with Justin, I just feel confident no matter who's out there. Like he's gonna find a way as long as he has time. Mm-hmm. He's gonna find a way. So as long as the offensive line plays well, it's always nice to have our best player, you know, Keenan Allen out there. But he's gonna get something done. it's nice having that confidence in your quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
As long as he has time.
And then as far as, would you draft a high floor or high ceiling player?
Well, I think Quentin is that. He's a high ceiling. We don't know what his floor is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the ceiling is the more interesting one for me because those are the first round guys. But yeah, that's hard to say.
Yeah. Ideally, your first rounders are high ceiling and high floor. It's like they're in, they're ready to go, but they could get way better, you know?
Penthouse. Sure.
Yeah, that should be your first round picks. They should be lock and load, ready to go, slam dunks.
Right. All right. Well, there you go. Unanimous. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Javier Rodriguez, who asked the question.
What does the team need to beat good teams? Congrats on 300.
What is that voice?
I don't know.
I like it.
Sometimes I get to just panic. And I just have to like do something physically and then there's a voice.
Yeah.
They got to be consistent.
It's just consistency.
It has to be consistency. I mean, like we could say like they got to stay healthy and God bless. We didn't even talk about this. Chris Rumpf now potentially out for the whole
season. No, he's out. He is out for the whole season. Yep. It's official.
On IR.
Well,
they said he's out for the season via Rapoport.
Right. Well, there was an interview that Staley said that they were going to put him on IR, but it's not officially season ending. So I'm just saying. Chris Rumpf gets, we went into this game with like the smallest injury report we've ever seen almost ever.
And we lost four guys in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Before the game even started.
Well, Mike Davis was throwing up in the locker room, I guess. He was just trying to suck it up and play.
He was just puking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Poor guy. So yeah, I mean, it's, you got to be healthy and you got to be consistent.
I just meant if we can go middle of the, we can go 16 offense, 16 defense. I think we can almost win out. Honestly, just right down the middle, just right in the middle. Just be the utter most bland, right in the middle team. Just be mediocre and we will probably get in the playoffs.
Just the hope in your eyes when you said that it was really just like, just got to be mediocre.
The lucky number
this is 16. It, guys. We just have to be right in the middle. I think I figured it out.
Mediocrity. Just mediocrity, for a few games out. To build on some mediocrity, and then we'll see where we go.
All right. Well, there you go. Javier Rodriguez, thank you for asking the question.
Thanks, Javi.
Let's move it on now to Mr. Pekar.
Nice.
Who asked the question?
Well, hello, beautifuls. We really need to stop meeting like this on Mondays. This loss hurt a bit more than the rest. Our big sack D was manhandled by that O-line. Our secondary and linebackers, oh, they were shredded up more than my freshly grated cheese on my pizza. But there was a light at the end of the tunnel. Our offense was beautiful after that interception, and they seemingly never looked back. But anyways, that loss was hard. I had to revert back to my doctor's method of remaining positive. If you remember, my doctor told me to find one positive thing for every loss we have and to daily to share those positives with other Charger fans. So here we go again. Number one, Herbert is our QB and he is the best in the NFL. Two, Allen is amazing, 175 yards for two touchdowns, and that swagger he has. Number three, Eckler's legs, you know the ones where their tops end at his bottom. Number four, Dicker's leg that was 6 for 6 and was also, oh, dare I say it, Kyle, I'm going to say it. Is Dick perfect? And number five, we held the Lions to 0 sacks. Whoa. Would each of you please help us to cope with these 5 losses so far by each sharing one positive thing from this game? It also seems that some Charger fans forgot how to cheer for the Chargers. So I wanted to share an easy way to do this. Oh, he shared a little Twitter link that showed his 5-year-old girl telling everybody to charge. Nice. So don't forget, folks, BTFU, FTR, and can't love you, bye.
All right. Well, there you go. I love that, Bobby, as far as like...
Yeah.
Stay positive.
Things you liked in that game.
You just got to find one positive thing and just cling to that like a life raft. Like a
starfish.
Yeah. Listen, can't take this from me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, give us some positives there, guys. If there's something that Bobby didn't... I mean, first of all, Bobby... You said one positive thing. Don't go out there and say five.
You took all the positive things.
You took all the good ones,
Bobby. Very positive, yeah.
that makes it harder for us to come up with stuff. What's some other positive things you guys can think of?
Oh, there was one. I saw the interview with who's their edge rusher on the Lions?
Aiden Hutchinson.
So he had an interview I saw where he was talking about how he thought that he tackled Justin out of bounds, but while he was tackling him, he didn't realize that he threw a 25-yard reception. Yeah. And Justin got up and yelled in his ear, "Let's fucking go."
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You love to hear it.
I did so, not know that.
Yeah. So I'll retweet it. Whoa. But that happened. Please. He's like, that guy's the dude. That guy's a stud.
Wow.
Like, made the throw while the guy thought he tackled him out of bounds for a sack. And no, he made the throw.
You know what would be the best thing in the world?
What?
Is if Herbert was mic'd up for that game and
hell you could yeah. hear
that. He wasn't.
I know he wasn't. Be. He'll never be mic'd up for a game, but if he
well,
was.
Well, if Aiden was, maybe Aiden was mic'd
maybe
up.
Maybe Aiden was. All right, I guess we're going to have to go follow the Detroit Lions for the week, see if they post anything cool.
Yeah.
I know, but that was my highlight where I was like, oh yeah, that's our guy. And he didn't Phil Rivers in his ear, 85-yard touchdown. He just got up pumped when the other player thought he had dominated him. Mm. We don't dominate Justin. Mm-mm. Herbo is Turbo, and he does what he wants.
Herbo is Turbo.
There was a really funny Herbo moment we had during the game. He turboed up for sure.
He did. How about you, Kyle? What do you got?
Yeah, you took a lot of them. I mean, all the guys that were not scoring, like Jalen Guyton and Quentin Johnson scoring touchdowns, you just hope that that's like that switch, that now it's just going to start like dominoes falling. Right. They're going to start playing. They have a little confidence going. So I'm going to say getting other guys involved on offense, not just Keenan and Eck.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And I'm going to say at least the defense had one turnover on downs.
Oh, yeah, the fourth down stop at the 2-yard line. That fourth down
stop, goal line. They went for it on fourth down and did not get it. And that's always nice to see.
There was a really great blitz by Derwin James who, like, tackled. Remember, he timed it perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Tackle
for a loss.
That was right after his
targeting. That was targeting. The one punt that we caused in the game.
Because he was pissed because he got a targeting or personal foul.
Whatever. Right.
It's too bad that wasn't a pass play because he would have lit Goff.
He'd have murdered him.
All right.
That's what we were talking about, being lucky. Why wasn't that a pass play? That would have been a perfect sack. Maybe a fumble. Maybe a touchdown. Who knows?
Who knows? Nobody. Mr. Pekar, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to House of Hain, who asked the question.
The good, I say the good, the bad, and the defense, okay? Good, Allen, Herbo, Q's first TD, and the O going off, finally in the second half. We almost pulled it out, but now she is pregnant and 18 years of child support is coming. All right, bad and the ugly. The D didn't get it done. Maybe got Brandon as head coach and maybe keep Brandon as head coach and get a DC. He knew what God was good and bad at. Nothing happened. Walked all over us for 333 yards. No picks, no sacks. I get it. Changes were made at the half, but we gave up so much in the first half. Oh, they also ran all over us, too. Second time giving up over 500 this year and fourth time giving up over 475 this year. What positive spin do you have for us? We need one. K-Love you by FTR, FTB, and FTC.
I think we're all on the same page about giving Ansley a chance. I think that sounds positive.
Yeah.
Because who's to say? Look what happened to the Pierce and the Raiders right now. They're not winning by much, but they're at least doing something a little different. That's going to all fall apart pretty soon. But who knows? Two-game spark?
Yeah.
Let's go. I'll take a two-game spark.
Yeah. Like that. Positive spin. I'm trying.
How much positive spin?
I mean, the positive spin is that, again, we weren't out of the game.
No.
If this was, 41 to 12 or 16, that would be like, holy shit. That would be one of the worst situations to be in. So, I mean, to know that during that last bit, man, it was just touchdown for touchdown, just boom, you get a touchdown, boom, get a touchdown, boom, get a touchdown. Like, it was just such a high scoring game that, you know, when it gets to be that point, it's like, it's going to be miserable for one of the two teams. And it ended up being us, you know, because we couldn't be consistent. We couldn't stop or perform when we needed to. But man, were they performing? Man, were there some exciting moments there, especially with Keenan Allen leaving the game. And you're just going back. Like, oh, crap.
Yeah, I was panicked.
And then to have him come back into the game was just like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Sign me up. So
that was awesome.
There's still playmakers on this team, man. There's still people that can get it done. There's still, and we're still in it. We aren't eliminated from anything yet. So just got to hang in there, man. And cheer louder when they're doing, you know, when they're having a hard time, cheer even louder, because that's when they need it the most. That's when I need it the most. That's when Kevin needs it the most.
Yeah.
Kyle doesn't, because he has a newborn baby.
Yeah, don't yell near the goddamn baby, okay? Will you please? We've told you this 100 times.
Yeah.
Someone tell Dave.
Inside voice.
Someone tell Grandpa.
All right. House of Hain, thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Andrew Ramsey, who asked the question.
What adventures we have next week, and how are we repping our squad? See you guys next week in Green Bay. I'll be sure to eat as many cheese curds as I can to put in me in a lactose intolerant coma. I hear that's a thing out there. Okay, love you, bye.
Yeah, lactose intolerance in Wisconsin's not a good thing.
That's
bring some that lactate. Pretty
miserable.
You can handle it.
Yeah. No, we're excited. I wish we would. It'd be a lot more fun if we were coming off a win going to that. But we're gonna. Hey, we get to go watch them get to 500 and. Get to go to Lambeau and get to go celebrate and hang out with our friends and take the bus up from Milwaukee. There's a lot of stuff.
That's the crazy thing. Like there's, for those that don't
know. So many activities.
There's no airport right next to Green Bay.
They have a small one, but the flights are.
It's very small.
All expensive.
So, yeah. So we're flying into Milwaukee and then having a 2-hour drive.
It's a giant bus.
Between Milwaukee and Green Bay.
There's like nine. There's going to be like 9 or 10 of us Charger fans with the bus full of Packer fans. It's going to be good.
Yeah. So it should
five be. North Pole, but Wisconsin.
But Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Cheesy.
Cheesy North.
Five North Cheese.
Five North Cheese. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, going to be a lot of fun times there, Andrew, especially with you and Kat and the Brisket Bronze. I mean, come on.
My wife.
Kevin's wife.
She does.
Is she wearing Packer stuff?
I don't know. Only time will tell. I don't know. She's like, what should I? I was like, I basically told her, I was like, you know what? I don't care what it costs. If you find something crazy cute that's Chargers, buy it on me. I'm Papa. I'm Dada.
Oh, wow.
I got this. So we'll see if she takes me up on it. She might. I don't know. We'll see. Either way,
she's in a tough spot.
She it really is the worst possible
hard spot. Place.
Yeah. Josie.
Yeah. whatever decision she makes is totally fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. Looking forward to it, Andrew. Thank you for asking the question. And we go out of Ask Bolt Fam with Hot for Herbie, who asked the question.
Oh, my golly gosh. We almost pulled it off, but lost it in a standard Chargers fashion. Speaking of pulling it off, how about our sexy, gorgeous, super talented, tall, blonde, and gorgeous kid Bay? God damn, that man can throw a nut. He definitely did not deserve to lose that game. Hopefully our boy in prime Herbie Real Estate, Keenan Allen, pulls through this shoulder injury because, man, we need him. Speaking of prime real estate, this brings me to my question, and I cannot think of a better group of lads to ask. Let me set the scene. I'm currently on the porch of my brand new home, moved in 5 days ago with my girlfriend of 10 years, watching the sunset over the blue mountains of Western Sydney. Brandon inhaling some Keefin Allen, if you know what I mean. And it got me thinking, is there any pieces of prime real estate within your home, like cupboards or drawers or something, that your partner, girlfriend, wife, or kids are currently using that you wish you took claim on early in the move to make your space? Or am I stuck with the garage and lawn for the rest of my life? Keep fighting the good fight, lads. Love it. Bye.
That's a good question.
For you guys. Yeah, for us. For me, I've got all the lay of the land. Yeah,
You got two rooms.
Yeah, two rooms, a whole kitchen.
Two bathrooms.
Yeah.
Got all of it. When we bought our last house, I immediately laid claim to the unfinished basement because I knew she wouldn't want it. I was like, I knew it'd be fine. It's cold and dark and
so you should have asked for something that you knew she would want.
But now we spend the most time in there because I made it extra rad. Mm. I turned it into the movie theater room.
That's true.
All my Charger stuff is in there.
Yeah.
I would like a little more of the closet, but that's just marriage. Mm. So it is what it is. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Kyle, do you have free reign over all that you see? Or
this is all yours, Simba, as far as the eye can see.
What about that dark spot over there?
No, that's mommy's.
Never go there.
No,
any elephant graveyards?
I have no space that's mine whatsoever.
He has so little space, he had to send me his one awesome Chargers memorabilia so it could be on a wall somewhere. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm in my kid's like playroom right now recording this. And then I'm going to head up. I actually am sleeping in my bunk bed with my second son right now. So
I don't even
get to sleep in my own bed. Yeah. Dumb. I have no space. I do have a recliner, and that was about it. That's kind of mine, but
yeah,
not guaranteed. First come, first serve kind of thing.
Oh shit!
No tap tap whenever you get up.
No,
no. My kids see me come, they're like, "Yep, you're on the couch."
Today, it's a race for the recliner. They're like, "Dad's coming. Dive on the recliner."
We got to make sure it is one thing that he likes. We're taking. Yeah. It.
Yeah. You see that hope in his eyes? Let's go, boys!
What an idiot.
Now what, old man?
Yeah,
I just got your recliner. You have no power here. All right. Well, great question. Hot for Herbie. Thank you for asking it. And thank you all for asking questions and Ask Vault fam. I know it was tough. It was.
I feel, hey, after a tough loss, do you feel better now? I feel better now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move on. Let's move on together.
Like our weekly purge is this Tuesday episode.
Get it out.
Get it out.
Get it out.
Shout.
Better out Shout. Than
out. Let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Come on. I'm talking to you, Staley.
All right, sorry.
All right. Tears well, I think...
I do have tears and fears.
Tears for tears. Your fears?
I have tears and fears after that game.
All right.
A lot of love.
That's going to do it for this episode. Any final thoughts there? Tears and fears?
No, I'm ready to go to Green Bay and kick some Packer ass.
I like that. Okay. That's going to do it for this.
Wait, no one else has anything to say? We're going to go out.
Apparently not.
Go out on that.
I wasn't asked. Adam asked you, and then we all just.
Open to everybody. It's never specific. Yeah,
what
on
about
there.
You, Kyle? What do you have to say?
I'll just double down on the. I like the idea of the co defensive coordinator every other week thing. I think we should go with that.
Yeah.
Deal.
Let's pitch it.
We'll be 500 after the end of the season.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here at Charger Chat, folks. Don't forget to bolt up because we're ready for any squad, any place.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
When you need to get up and going on game day, what are you going to reach for? Red Bull? Monster? Coffee? Why not try something new? Why not try Herbo Turbo? Herbo Turbo gives you that rookie of the year, stat-breaking, gunslinging, hair-waving energy. Sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? That's because it is. Herbo Turbo. Taste the herb.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.